Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us again on what looks like it's going to be a snowy evening in New England. And that's always exciting around here because you never know how things are going to unfold. You just have to wait and see. And that will be my topic for the metaphysical musing, but my guest tonight is a lot of fun. It's Michelle McCarthy, who is a Reiki master teacher and has a healing center in Massachusetts. And we're going to have a good time talking about Reiki and hands-on healing and a bunch of other things. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. It's kind of two things I wanted to talk about. One, I was thinking about hands-on healing because of Michelle's work, and that's where I started. I started with a form of hands-on healing, working on people. For me, my introduction was therapeutic touch, which was developed as a form of laying on hands for nurses to use in a medical setting. So it had some very interesting things because they did medical research about the effects of therapeutic touch, and that was fascinating. It had a deep metaphysical background. The woman who developed it was doing it with a profound teacher. But they were fitting it into the medical model. And the other thing I want to talk about, and you'll see that this story kind of goes that way, my father became seriously ill, and I went to California to take care of him, and I had just learned therapeutic touch, and I worked on him. I charged up. I ran energy into all his IV bottles for the surgery he had, and he did exceptionally well. Everybody was amazed at his recovery. About a year later, he had another incident, and I rushed out to California, and his boss took me aside in the hospital and in the hallway and out of nowhere said, "Do you know anything about psychic surgery?" And I had been on this path long enough to know that when someone says that to you, the response is no, but I think I'm going to find out. Because there are no coincidences. Once you get on this path of healing, if you're paying attention, strange things happen. You run into people, they say things, and if you pick up on them, you find yourself going off in a direction you never expected. And for me, that direction was eventually moving out to the West Coast and studying with the man that he had mentioned to me, who had been trained in the Philippines by psychic surgeons. And they mentioned to me because he was having incredible results with people with the kinds of issues my father had. My father was in the process of dying, and somebody else showed up in my life who was a Cherokee medicine man. And the Kiowa worked with crystals, and I worked with crystals, and so we had this connection. And I went to California and for 3 years did incredibly strange things. For a while, I was apprenticing with these two healers, working nights in a psych hospital and living in a camper. It's a great story. I got to write it down. Maybe we'll do a movie. But at each step along the way, as soon as I started working with these two healers who were trained by indigenous healers, I didn't have a name for what I did. I couldn't say it's Greg's stuff. My teacher was Greg Shelkin. I hope I can get him on the show. But he was trained by indigenous healers. There was just a way that you did it. You learned how to shift your energy so that the energy flowed through you. And like anything else in life, people have a natural talent for things. But if you don't have good teachers and you don't practice and you don't challenge yourself, you won't get really good at it. Doesn't matter whether it's healing or it's music or it's athletics. You have to have that combination of talent commitment, good teachers, and a lot of practice. And then after years and years and years, you wind up being able to do things that amaze people. And everybody goes, oh, you must have been like this as a kid. No! It took all of these events happening and all the things that you did and all the adventures that you went on. So part of the reason I'm mentioning it is a couple of years ago, I ran into somebody who was initiating people into Kundalini Reiki. And I had not heard of that before. And it was the most similar to the way that I had been trained all along. Most of Reiki has a system, and I'm sure Michelle can talk about how the different systems work, but there are hand positions and things that you need to know. And Kundalini Reiki basically was, once you got attuned to it, the energy flowed through you and you just did it. There was no system. There was no drama to it. I loved that. And it allows me to attune other people to Kundalini Reiki, and all of a sudden there are a lot more healers in the world, so they can be helping other people. But as soon as I was doing Kundalini Reiki, I could call what I did when I did hands-on healing Kundalini Reiki, and it had a name now. It wasn't just, I'm good at this, I've been doing it a long time. It had a name. So it's interesting how the different lineages that we get and the names that are attached to them also affect what you can say to people and what people will accept. So the other thing about this path, as like that moment in the hallway wherein I was introduced to psychic surgery, the question on the path is always, what next? And once you have that question, the answer comes to you, and the next question is, will you do what's been put in front of you? And if you keep just asking that question and doing what gets put in front of you, you get into some interesting situations, and you learn a lot that other people who are not taking those opportunities don't get to learn. And that's part of what I like to talk about on the show, is what was the healer's path that got the person to where they are. So it's one of the questions that we'll ask Michelle. So, Michelle, thanks for being with me tonight.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And this is Michelle McCarthy, and you have a healing center where?
We're in Agawam. We're on Walnut Street, 299 Walnut Street. We're right across from Walgreens on the second floor.
And this is Agawam, Massachusetts?
Agawam, Massachusetts, yes.
And you are a practitioner of and teach several kinds of Reiki.
I do, and I am. And what happens, you know, is as you take one modality, you say, what's next, and you learn something different, it becomes, this is what it is. I don't know what it is. I ask it to come through me. It's many different things. So I have a hard time naming it sometimes, David. I look at it as the energy of love and light and healing that I ask to come through me. And we can call it Yusui Reiki. In my case, we can call it Karuna Reiki. We can call it Kundalini Reiki. We can call it Litarian Reiki. We can call it Integrated Energy Therapy. We can call it Healing Touch. And I can go on and on and on with the things that I have learned.
And each of those systems has its particular way of doing things and its particular way of expressing an understanding of what the healing process is. And why don't you tell some of the nuances of the differences and how you moved from one to the other so people have an idea. What does Reiki mean? It's a Japanese word.
It is, and there are two parts to Reiki. The first is this amazing wisdom that comes from a source greater than you. And it knows everything that you need in your life in order to heal or move or shift or clear, if you will. And so my first introduction to the Yusui system actually came from a friend of mine back in 1996 when I was essentially suicidal. I was at a very dark point in my life, and I had spent, oh goodness, almost 30 years in the pet industry. And every part of my body felt like it was broken, and emotionally I was a wreck. And so as I was attempting to find some easy, painless way out of this life, a friend of mine who was a massage therapist actually said, I've been trained in this thing and I want to try it on you because I think it will help. And I experienced a very profound hour on her table. And within that hour, I knew something shifted. I had no clue what it was, but something in me said, I have to learn what this is. So she gave it a name. She called it Reiki. I had never heard of it. I had energy work. What the heck is that? But that opened the door for me, David. And I took my first Reiki class. My very first clients walked on four legs. Every dog that came into my salon had a Reiki session. And, well, I'll tell you, I learned an awful lot about that energy, working on myself and working on the dogs who were coming into my salon. And mm-hmm. in 1999, I said, this is it. I can't continue to do this anymore. I closed the doors. And I said, all right, what's next? What do we do now? And I proceeded to just really immerse myself in different types of Reiki. I essentially worked with different Reiki master teachers in the Usui tradition because, you know, everybody teaches differently. And so I did that for a few years, and I became involved in Healing Touch, and I really liked that, but it was a little stricter than Reiki, and I really loved my Reiki. And you know how that path evolved, David.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2002 that I got introduced to integrated energy therapy. And with all of the Reiki trainings and other modalities that I had taken, I felt like I had come home. Like integrated energy therapy would blend so beautifully with Reiki. It's different. Its vibration is different. And I just thought, my goodness, this moves faster. I just want to be immersed in this. And so I immersed myself in that. What I found with all of the Reiki traditions is that there were specific hand positions that you would use, with the exception of, as you said, Kundalini Reiki and Lightarian Reiki. They're really simple and easy, no specific hand positions. Integrated energy therapy also has specific hand positions. We're calling in a violet ray with integrated energy therapy, and I just found that the hand positions worked so well with the Reiki energy that it was like coming home. And then, of course, I added in the amethyst biomat about 4 years ago, and zoom, zoom, zoom is all I can say.
So talk a little bit about the amethyst biomat. I've actually had the opportunity to lie on one, but most people haven't heard of them.
It was a student of mine who actually sent me an email and asked me if I'd ever heard of this. And I had not. Every hair stood up on my arms, and I listened to that. 3 days later, I was laying on a biomat, and I had a 20-minute experience that was as profound as my first Reiki experience. So essentially what we have here is a mat that incorporates far infrared rays, negative ions, and amethyst crystals. This is an FDA-registered Class 3 medical device. For some people, that's amazingly impressive. It took almost 6 years for the company that manufactures the mat to get that designation. Other people say, I don't really care about that. You know, okay. But far infrared rays are those wonderful rays that penetrate 6 to 8 inches into your body. They really help your body's muscles to relax. They're the safest rays known. They are being shown to destroy cancer cells without harming surrounding healthy cells. It's these things purify the blood. They make your cells open to communicate with one another. We have negative ions in our body, but we can't produce enough of them because of all of the electromagnetic frequencies that we live around. And so the body gets a little depleted. So this mat incorporates those negative ions. And those negative ions go into your body, and they actually move things faster, and they help to cleanse and purify things. And essentially, these are the ions that activate your body's entire cellular communication system. So these things begin to make your body begin to function in a much better way. They're great for headaches, if you're having difficulty sleeping. It's wonderful if you're exhausted, if you have a lot of tension. Negative ions are great for alertness. They give you more energy. If you're feeling drowsy and dopey, like I get around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, great for that. But they also really relax you and help enhance your sleeping quality. And then, of course, we have amethyst crystals, and I'm a rock girl. I love rocks, and I love amethyst. And these are really great for calming your nervous system. They're wonderful for your respiratory, your digestive systems, for cellular stuff. It calms your emotions. Amethyst is known to balance all 7 of your energy centers. And so what better, from my perspective, than to come in for a hands-on energy session using multiple modalities and adding in a mat that you simply lay on that also adds to your ability to meditate, to relax, to rest, to let go, to sleep. And it's all good.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty amazing. And it's always it's that secret weapon thing. People don't know that there's this other thing going on unless you tell them, but they feel incredible.
Well, you know, David, I was an energy worker. I have been since 1996. So I've been in private practice since 1999. My clients were coming in, and experiencing wonderful things. I brought in the amethyst biomat, and people who had been on my table previously got it. They got it right away. They knew that the mat added a whole other dimension to the session. And I kept hearing, how do I get one of these? I want this at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it made my heart leap because I have always felt that every home needs an energy worker. And then the biomat came in and I said, every home needs an energy worker and a biomat. And then I learned about the alkaline water system and said, energy work, biomat, alkaline water, life is good.
Right. That's it. All of those things are extremely important, and most people have never heard of them. Which of the alkaline water systems are you familiar with?
I actually use the one that is made by the Richway Company, which is the company that makes the biomat.
Ah, okay. So that's one I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
There are several, and if you talk to any one of them, they will tell you that they are the best. But they each have the particular ways in which they are the best, you know, the things that they emphasize. But alkalized water has an incredible effect on the body.
It absolutely does. Absolutely does.
Especially since most things that people drink are acidic, especially if you're drinking soda or coffee.
Mm-hmm. Coffee, tea, alcohol, mm-hmm. You know, meat, sugar. The list goes on and on of the foods that are acidic and create that acidic body that creates illness.
Right, creates the environment for illness. I'm actually sneaky. I make my coffee with the alkalized water.
So do I. My coffee and my tea have been made with 9.5 alkaline water for 4 years.
Exactly. I did go into one restaurant in Las Vegas, one little hole-in-the-wall restaurant, that did everything with alkalized water.
Really?
But it's evidently very common in Japan.
Yes.
But it was the only place in the United States that I've ever been where they were using alkalized water for everything, for cooking, but especially for making drinks.
I've never been anywhere that offers it. So what a great thing.
Yeah. It was surprising.
Yeah.
So, a healer in every family and a biomat.
Yeah.
How do you get a healer in every family?
It's my dream, David. I haven't figured it out yet. You know, it's the name of my business is the Heart to Heart Healing Connection, and my byline is Healing the World One Heart at a Time. So essentially, how do we get an energy worker in every home? It's one body, it's one heart at a time.
Right. So are you doing that mostly with Kundalini Reiki and Lightarian Reiki, which are systems? I'm familiar with Kundalini Reiki, and for that you just go through the three attunements.
Right.
And at that point, your body will run Reiki.
Right.
And with some simple exercises, you're off and running. You can work on people.
Mm-hmm.
Which was part of my excitement about Kundalini Reiki for the same reasons. Being able to give people a tool, even remotely, you know, you don't have to be in the same room to get attuned,
mm-hmm.
That even remotely I could help people do the basics of the kind of work that I've been doing for years and be able to take care of themselves and their kids and their animals and just have that available to them all the time.
Mm-hmm. My primary passion has been integrated energy therapy since it came into my life. I have taught Reiki since 1999, and I still teach it. I primarily teach it by request now. I love the energies of Kundalini and Lightarian for those reasons you've just described. It's remote. People can have it, and the energy is moving through them. Integrated energy therapy moved things really quickly, which I did not find with Yasui Reiki. And I think you can talk to 100 different people and get 100 different responses to that. But that was my personal experience. And so I really did become very passionate about integrated energy therapy. So that's my primary focus. I was invited to become a master instructor trainer last year, which is something I hoped for since 2005, and there are now 10 of us in the world who can teach that. So I not only get to teach all of the levels of IET, as we call it, and a Healing Angels class and an IET for Pets class, and there's IET for kids, but I also get to bring people in to the master instructor's level. And empowering people to teach other people
mm-hmm.
is also one of my passions. I want an energy worker in every home, and the more people there are out there doing this who are empowered to bring this energy to other people so that they too can do it, it just sort of expands the universe, it expands the consciousness faster.
And that's right. What we're right in the middle of is the expansion of consciousness.
Yes.
So we've got a couple of minutes to the break. I want to make sure people have your website and how to get in touch with you. And I'm also going to give the call-in number so people can call in and join the conversation. So how can people find you?
They can find me online. My website is heart2hearthealing.com. So obviously it's the three W's. heart2hearthealing.com. By phone, they can reach me at 413-737-9443. We are on Facebook at heart2hearthealing. Again, it's that number two. So they can find me there.
Terrific. We'll make sure that you have a couple more chances to give all that information out so people can find you.
Great.
I think by now they know that they can find me at househealing.com. Let me give the number for people to call in. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So we're going to be going to break in just a minute. When we come back, I will give the number again. And if you have questions, comments, or just want to schmooze, give us a call and join the conversation. So we're going to be going to break in just a couple of minutes, and we will be back after these messages on Empower Radio.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track, to volunteer in ways you never dreamed of, in places you never imagined yourself being. Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see. Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change the fate of thousands. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I want to change some things. I want the moms where I live to have childcare they can trust.
I want to make sure my little brother and his friends have a safe place to play.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more hardworking families learn how to budget and save.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
Want to make a difference? There are so many ways you can. Help create opportunities for everyone in your community.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I mean, I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
As long as we have hope, prayer, and a little bit of time to get us there. Hope, prayer, and time. As long as we have hope, prayer, and a little bit of time to get us there.
World Wildlife Fund, working around the world to build a future where people live in harmony with nature.
We are ordinary people.
For more than 40 years, World Wildlife Fund has achieved lasting conservation results by working with local governments, communities, businesses, and scientists to save wildlife and wild places. Please help us save the world's most endangered animals and places. Go to worldwildlife.org today. Thank you.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Michelle McCarthy from Agawam, Massachusetts. And I'm going to give the number again for people to call in and join the conversation. That number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. So, Michelle, we were talking about integrated energy therapy and that you are a master. Tell me again what the title is, that you're
I'm actually one of only
10 on the planet.
Yeah, master instructor trainer.
So you can teach the highest level of that particular initiation, and people who have taken it from you can then teach.
Yes, correct.
Fantastic.
You're one of the other 10.
What's that?
I said whether they take it from me or one of the other of the 10 of us.
Right.
They get to teach it, and great work, David. You know, I mean, so much of my work today is remote, and I love the remote work. I love the whether I do it live on the phone with somebody or I just schedule a time and I do it. Boy, you know, energy follows intention, and just being able to provide that service for people is wonderful. I love what I do, David.
Me too. And as you know, I do all my work remotely, so I do understand that there's a certain grace to that, where you're just sitting there violating all the laws of the physical world, being in what physicists call non-local reality outside of space and time, and just take care of things. And people are always skeptical of all of that, and my response is, so what do you do with the fact that it gets results?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I understand. It's hard to wrap your head around it, but it works. So there you have it.
You know, I've had people say, oh, my God, I knew right when you started. My body started to tingle. I got warm. I could feel things. I went to sleep.
Right.
And then I woke up and I knew you were done. Cool. So
right.
How are you feeling as a result of that? It's very cool.
Yeah, remote work is very cool. So give us a little idea. You said it was using a violet ray. What are the other unique features of that kind of work?
With Reiki, we're bringing in this universal life force energy that flows through us. We can use specific hand positions. We can just place our hands wherever we are called intuitively. The energy goes where it's needed anyway, and it gradually breaks up the blockages that we have created in our lives. They're energetic blockages that create physical issues or physical dis-ease in our bodies. And it is a wonderful technique, and I'm grateful for it. It saved my life. Integrated energy therapy works faster. It is using an angelic ray and calling in 9 angels that are specific to the modality, working in, I don't want to call them precise areas because this is not, you know, brain surgery, but we're working in specific points on the body where we have suppressed cellular memories or what we call the issues in our tissues. And by just using a very light hand pressure, the vibration comes in from an angel for that specific hand position. And it just moves that stuck energy out. It moves that suppressed cellular memory out, and automatically it replaces it with a higher vibration. So in Reiki, we say hands on, Reiki on. It goes where you need it. In integrated energy therapy, I'll listen to the conversation that we have, and based on that conversation, I may get the sense that you're holding a tremendous amount of stress and powerless, or maybe there's a lot of fear in your life. And I know where that resides. Maybe you're really mad. I know where to go in integrated energy therapy to work with that. Maybe you're feeling threatened. I can go to that place too. And maybe you're having a hard time opening up and expressing yourself, and I can go to that place too. And we can just move this energy out. So there are 9 areas that we work with in a total of 12 hand positions. And it's just very gentle, sweet, beautiful work.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it remotely as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and are these angels or archangels?
They are angels that are specific to integrated energy therapy. Some people are familiar with, some people are not familiar with. So when I talk about Angel Raphael, I do call him Archangel Raphael. We do work with him. In integrated energy therapy, we work with Angel Daniel. I don't call him Archangel Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We work with Gabriel, and I call him Archangel Gabriel. They are angels who made their presence known as the developer was bringing the technique in, as
right.
It was just beginning to develop. And he is an amazing trans channel for angels. And they just simply made their presence known. And so we call them the 9 healing angels of the energy field.
Mm-hmm. Now, for some people, probably not the most of the listeners to this show, but for some people, the idea of angels is a little bit out there.
Sure.
But the idea of angels being this involved in a specific process with specific people might seem a little far-fetched. Just to give my experience with it, the work that I do is frequently about clearing buildings, and a lot of that has to do with negative entities, you know, things that most people can feel and they know something's wrong, but they don't know exactly what it is. My job is to know exactly what it is and take care of it. And I work with 7 archangels. So, you know, we're kind of the angelic SWAT team. when when there are intense negative things going on, they all show up. I don't even have to ask them most of the time anymore. They're just there. And what most people, you know, for some people who have studied a lot of spiritual traditions, you'll find that angels and archangels are archetypes. Mm-hmm. The names may be different, but the intention, what they do, the kind of energy that they carry is in every tradition. So the Hindu gods and goddesses are the same symbols with different names, and the same is true in Buddhism, but the angels and archangels are those same energies. It's just a different cultural tradition looking at, reaching out into this realm and saying, oh, here you are. I know who you are. And the tradition comes up with a name for them. You know, the classic thing is Mother Mary and Kuan Yin are the same thing. So whatever tradition you're in, these angelic energies are available. This is one way of accessing them. And obviously the person who put this together had cooperation and access for them to their energy to be attached to this process, which is extremely powerful. So now, I'm very curious. We will be talking more.
If I can interject here, mm-hmm. because you're right, not everybody is comfortable with angels. And I have the pictures as they came through another IET master instructor up in my office when I teach. But I have taught many people who are not comfortable with angels, who can't connect with them. And mm-hmm. the first question I get is, well, is this going to still work for me? Yes. Because angels are entities that come from a source greater than us all. You can call that source God, Goddess, Spirit, Universe, whatever you are comfortable with. You can call it Buddha. You can give it whatever name you wish to give it. Whatever way you connect with a source greater than yourself is where you will find this energy that we are working with. And so I have pictures and I say, this is what they look like. From this person's perspective, you may not experience this energy and this vibration as them. But it will always work for you because your mm-hmm. intention is clear.
And because you've asked. Because yes. It's literally true, ask and it shall be given.
That's universal law. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, when I was first learning all of this and developing my psychic abilities, I was also an EMT. And we would roll up on an accident scene or something, and I would be able to tell, you know, where the bone was broken and that kind of stuff, which always kind of freaked people out. How do you know that? I don't know, but
I just know.
Splint it this way. But when you do that, and you roll up to the scene and you can see angels, they're all standing there, and what they're saying together is, say something, mm-hmm. say something. They just want somebody to ask. Yep. And it could be something as simple as saying, oh God, this guy needs help. And that makes the opening for them to do everything they're ready to do. But if nobody asks, they cannot violate free will. They won't do it.
Nope, that's right.
And as soon as you open up to the idea that there are all these basically helpers that are available all the time, space and time are not an issue. So, you know, it's not like they're on duty or off duty. They're it's always available. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start plugging into that, amazing mm-hmm. things can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is extremely powerful way to work.
You know, we can call it all of these amazing beings of light, or we can call it a light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just depends on what we need in the moment,
right.
What we feel called for.
Right. Well, you know, in Hindu culture, most of the deities, you know, which are aspects of God, you know, they're called gods and goddesses, but they're basically aspects of the personality of God. They frequently have four arms, six arms, eight arms. I call them Swiss Army knife goddesses. Because what each arm is, it's holding a gift, it's holding a skill, it's holding a power. There's some symbol of what that arm can do. So it, those statues, those images are saying, and this goddess, angel, this entity that comes from that source of all power is available to you, and it can give you this, and it can help you with this, and it can help you with that, and it can help you with that. And this is the one that brings all of these things. Do you need this? Mm-hmm. And so in Western culture, we've much more divided it down into individual names for individual entities, but it's basically the same thing. I need this particular gift. Can the one who has this particular gift be available to me now? And I had one teacher who would say, well, you don't know how to do that? Call the angel. And I was, you know, doing a plumbing job at his house. And he was like, well, channel the angel of plumbing. You know, channel the angel of laying bricks. What do you mean you don't know? That information's available. Just ask for it. And that's a very, very powerful way to be in the world and a very secure way to be in the world, because you just go, okay, whoever knows how to do this, would you get in here now and help me out?
And nobody really understands that it is just that simple. Nobody ever taught us that it's that simple. Ask, right. And it is. You know, I drive into the mall, and it's going to be packed on a Sunday, and I go, all right, angels, you know, I want the parking angels to find me a great spot. Boom, in I go.
Right.
You know, no questions. I just have asked for it, and it's there.
Right. And that's, you know, that's kind of manifesting 101. But the thing that people don't understand, especially, and parking is a great example. A parking spot is not just a space. It's an event in space and time. The space is always there. It's just got someone else's car in it.
That's right.
So what you want is for the space to be empty when you need it. And once you get that, as you drive along in the parking lot, someone will pull out right in front of you and give you the spot. Mm-hmm. Because you've asked for the right combination of things to happen in space and time. So when people say, you know, that parking lot is completely full, there are no parking spots, they're right. But when you drive up, someone will pull out.
That's right.
Because it will all be arranged. You know, when one of the glib ways that I talk about what reality is, it's a whole lot like a video game. You know, you figure out what the controls are and how to manipulate it on the screen, which is, you know, what a great system we've got. Holographic video and surround sound, it all seems very, very real. But basically, when you figure out that you have a lot more control, a lot more influence over what goes on and what we think is reality, things start to shift in very interesting ways. And basically, you get, as you accept that you can do it and it's okay to do it and how to do it, things start to happen more and more. And for other people, they call them coincidences. Because they're not aware that they're putting out the thought and asking for it.
You know, my explanation of coincidences is that these are things that coincide with your thought process.
Right. Right. So, and I love messing with people's heads because let's say you're pulling up to a traffic light and you say, you know, I used to snap my fingers to get traffic lights to change, and my kid got used to me doing it, you know? Like, oh, dad's doing, oh, look at that, the light changed. But the question when the light changes is, did you manifest that? Did you do that? Did your request make it happen? Or did you have a premonition it was going to happen and you asked for it at the right moment so that it would look like it happened because you asked for it?
Uh-huh.
You know, and the truth is, you will never know.
That's right. That's right, but how powerful am I is the way I drive around, right?
Right, but what's the difference? You know, you don't know whether it's your influence or it's just the timing of the universe. And since you know that you can influence things, it all comes together in just the right way. So, because, you know, people get into incredible both guilt trips and power trips about the idea that they can influence events. It's like, who am I to make these changes? And am I affecting other people? And, you know, could I be doing something bad? And because there's a whole lot of rhetoric about sin. And, you know, sure, if you intentionally violate someone's free will, you're doing something bad. But if you're not, basically you're just asking for what you want. If you're not supposed to get it, the universe won't give it to you.
That's right.
If it's not for the highest good, and you have in there the little disclaimer, for the highest good, highest this or best. Something better, then you won't get in trouble.
That's right.
It's a wonderful way to work. And basically healing work is the same thing. It's basically having that intention that what you are doing is going to influence the healing of that person in just the right way to accelerate their healing in the way that they need it. Mm-hmm. And we go through our system, and the system has its effects, but it's mostly our intention and the way that we've cleared ourselves so that we can do the work so that we can carry the energy and it can come through us.
And I also think there's something to be said for being able to hold a sacred space where people feel safe,
mm-hmm.
to let go, to let their guard down.
Right.
I've been teaching Reiki since 1999, and early on I realized that if I stepped to the table or I stepped into the classroom and I intended to open my heart and to hold a loving and compassionate space, that amazing things would happen. And it really didn't matter what I called it, except that I couldn't put out an invitation to come and learn how the energy of love heals. I would just put out the invitation for Reiki and people would come.
Right.
But I just have often said to my students, this is really about opening your heart, holding that space of love and compassion, in as judgment-free a zone as you can do in this moment, and then get out of the way. Let the energy move through you, paying attention or not to what is happening, letting your intuition guide the process for you.
Right, right. But it takes a lot of practice to be at the place where you can let go and let it come through you. You know, it's like saying that to a musician or to someone doing athletics. Yeah, that's true. You need to let go, you know, use the force, Luke. But you have to get to the point where you can do that. You have to go through all of that clearing, all of that learning to trust, challenged.
It's absolutely having the experience of having your ego so deeply ingrained in this and seeing how drained you get and how you fall on your butt and so on and so forth. And, you know, some people get it really fast and some people don't. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's all good. But my greatest lessons have come from my ego getting really involved and saying, I'm going to make sure that this person walks out feeling better. God, I gave that up so long ago. I'm, you know, step in, open my heart. And so when people say, can I do it right? Can I do it wrong? Nothing bad is ever going to happen. The energy is always going to move things. It may not always be comfortable. But you step in and bring your intention for what is in the highest and best good and just get out of the way and the experiences happen for you.
Right. Right. Basically, what you can do is make yourself really, really tired.
Oh, yeah, when your ego's involved, oh, my God, tired, drained, sick, you name it. Oh, God, somebody else wants a session. Yeah.
Right, and if you're getting drained in doing it, then obviously something is going on that's blocked. You know, there's ego involved. I remember I knew someone who was, I don't remember what her official title was, but, you know, basically a physical therapist. And she did deep muscle work. And when she ran into someone else that was a Rolfer or someone else doing deep muscle work, she'd always say, oh, so how long have you been doing the work? And if they said they were doing the work for 20 or 25 years, the conversation that would be opened up was about the energy work that they were really doing. Because you can't do deep tissue work for 25 years doing it strictly as manipulating the muscles and right. not destroy your own body.
Right.
It's too hard. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing the energy work, then the openings that allow your hands to do the deep tissue work are happening because of the energy work.
Right. I agree with that.
And that's the real – so the people that are doing it just by sheer physical force, besides everything else, the patients come away bruised and feeling like it was very intense or painful. Mm-hmm. And the people that are doing it with energy work, people come away going, that was amazing. It didn't hurt at all. So,
and there are people who do it with, they get the method down. You get off the table and you know you've had a very methodical,
right.
whatever the session was. It's when they can bring the heart in that it opens up a whole different level.
Yep.
I had a direct experience with someone in my office several years ago, and I kept saying, open your heart. I was on her table and I could feel that her heart wasn't there. I said, just open your heart. Just close your eyes, stop for a minute, and just envision your heart opening. And she kept doing what she was doing, and it was like 30 or 40 seconds, and I said, there it is. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to be doing. And the whole rest of that session was completely different.
Right. Right. It's amazing work.
It is, well, David.
Well, I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you again, so why don't you give your contact information at least one more time?
Sure. Our website is hearttoharthealing.com, and it's the number two. It's hearttoharthealing.com. We are located at 299 Walnut Street in Agawam. We're on the second floor. We are across from Walgreens. We're in the Block Jewelers building. They can reach me by phone at 413-737-9443. We are on Facebook at Heart to Heart Healing. Pretty much everything I do, with the exception of classes, I can do remotely, my energy sessions. So even if people aren't in the geographic location, I'm happy to work with them wherever they are. And I love to teach. I travel a lot to teach. So I'm really happy when people are in a different location and say, I'm really intrigued by this stuff. Will you come and teach it?
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me in October, and I ended up in Duluth, Georgia. It was just a whimmy thing. Let's put this on and see if, you know, if the universe supports this. And I flew down and taught for 5.5 days and had a ball.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, God, it was great.
That's great. I've done that a few times. I went to Las Vegas like that once and just taught for 4 days. It was incredible.
Oh, it was wonderful. Then came home, unpacked, and went up to Maine and taught for 2 days. All good.
It's all good. Oh, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been great fun.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. If people want to find me, you can find me at househealing.com. You find all my contact information cleverly hiding on the contact tab. And I just want to wrap up again with that metaphysical musing. The question is always, what now? You always want to be asking, what next, what now? And when you get the answer, you need to see what the next step is and take that step. Because that's where the magic is. That's where the openings are. That's where the incredible changes happen. So please be with us again next Thursday. We will have more fun here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. And my name is David Franklin Farkas, and I approve this message.